It is Wednesday of Grand Final week. Great to have you with us. Riley Beveridge, AFL.com.au. Other stuff going on other than the Grand Final that we need to keep a close eye on. And reliable Riley is all over that. Brad Hodge is going to, he's a dyed-in-the-wool, passionate Demon supporter, so he'll have a chat with us. Matty John's out of 8 o'clock, and then Chris Grant with three more sleeps, the great number three from the Western Bulldogs, who will be handing the cup over if they salute to Marcus Bontempelli and Luke Beveridge. He's going to join us at about 8.40 to give him a chance to have a bit of a sleep.
And was it Johnny Farnham that was on the boat with you yesterday, John Farnham, waltzing down the Swan River yesterday? No? Are you sure?
No, I told you that in the ad break. He was nowhere to be seen.
Well, Basil had the binoculars out yesterday. He said that he thought it looked like John Farnham on the boat with you.
5 o'clock here. What about Johnny at 5 o'clock?
What about the bloke that welcomed everybody on board the boat yesterday?
I'm Captain Merrill Stubing. Welcome aboard.
The Love Boat. That was infamous there a while ago too, wasn't it? This is our footy chat for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. I'm trying to keep abreast of everything that's happening back in Melbourne and around the country, Wispy. It seems to me that the coaches at the moment are the ones that are making, like, assistant coaching merry-go-round is making a fair bit of news,
Yeah, it is. He's a current assistant there, Andrew McWalter. His name has been linked to Carlton. Matthew Scarlett's name's been linked to Carlton as well as a possible assistant there. I know that the Blues were mightily impressed with Andrew McWalter. They interviewed him for the job there, and they loved his abilities, his communication skills, and his all-round understanding of the game and his ability to be able to articulate it. So he went through that process, impressed them, and now they're offering him an assistant role there at Carlton.
Okay, and then the one that interested me most was the Cats. So we've got Corey Enright, who's left and gone to St Kilda.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Matthew Knights, who has left and gone to the West Coast Eagles. And now that report, I think in that same report you're referring to there, saying that Matthew Scarlett is of great interest to the Carlton Footy Club as well.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Who's that going to leave Scotty with?
Well, I think that what they'll do is they'll just try and rebuild their whole coaching department, if that's the case.
Well, they'll have to, but they'll have to get a wriggle on, won't they?
Well, you don't know. They probably are talking to people now, if that's the case.
I think Stephen Hocking is...
Old trapdoor.
I think there's going to be a big...
explosion
reset.
There, do you think?
Reset.
A major reset. Yeah, I'm hearing that too. I'm thinking that probably what they're going to do is they're going to look at Chris Scott and say, "Okay, are you up for a rebuild? Do you see this as the way that we need to go? Do you share our vision in what we believe we need to do?" And if he did, then I think they can probably extend his contract. But if he doesn't see himself as part of that, then I'm hearing that maybe they'll just see that contract out with him at Geelong next season.
The way it's shaping up there, if your main three assistants, are, I don't know if Matty Scarlett's going, but two certainly have, then with this reset that is about to take place, then the conversation with Chris would be that. Now, Scotty might say, "Hey, I am absolutely 100% all in. Let's get this thing going. You know, get our new assistant coaching group in. You know, we've got a list that's going to get turned over in the next few years." They may commit to another 4 years. I don't know whether he's up for that or not. Or the other question would, or that is the question that they would put to him, is that, you know, there's a bit of work to be done, clearly. We're going to have to put a whole new coaching group around you, and there all the decisions are going to be made by the sounds of this or by the looks of this. So it's an interesting time down there at the Cattery.
Is that what you're hearing, that there'll be a major reset there at Geelong?
Oh, I think Chris Stephen Hocking is 100% going to, you know, put his eyes, or has and is putting his eyes over that whole organisation from top to bottom, and that's not just the footy side of it either. I think that's the whole football club's going to get a very, very thorough.
That's not a bad thing.
Steve Hocking makeover.
No, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But in all that, do you see that Chris Scott will be the coach next year as well?
I've got no line of sight on that. All I see there is 1 year to go, assistant coaches going, and big, you know, decisions ahead with a list that's going to be, maybe not next year, but in the next few years, going to need to be turned over pretty aggressively. So keeping Scotty, maybe just keep him for that year to see whether or not he is in for that sort of a fight, or maybe he will come to the conclusion as well that, you know, 10 years, 11 years is a long time at a club, and it's an all interesting situation, I reckon, but they won't just sit idly by down there at the Cattery and watch this thing unfold. I think they'll be pretty aggressive and on the front foot.
10 years can be a coaching lifespan, though, too, can't it, at the one club, one organisation?
Sure. Yeah. Nigel Appin, also off the Temper Tech, said to be leaving Geelong to take up an assistant role at Carlton. Is that right, or that's just a temper texter? I don't know if that's right. Has that been reported?
I haven't read that anywhere. I sort of touched on this yesterday. I just want to back over it because a lot of clubs are out there trying to work out exactly how much is going to be in their salary cap, right? So the AFL Players Association renegotiated with the AFL last year because of COVID, right? So they took a hit and they agreed to do this one-year type deal. They still have 3 years to run. The final year of their original CBA goes to the end of next season. What they want to do, what they are in negotiations with the AFL at the moment, and at the moment they're going along very slowly, is to possibly renegotiate and introduce a new three-year CBA agreement.
So there's 1 year to run.
There's
next
1 year to run.
Last year, the CBA.
That's right. There's 1 year to run on the original, right, which they would be happy to revert back to next year, which would increase the salary cap. Or they could negotiate another three-year deal, another three-year CBA agreement with the AFL, which would take them to the end of the current broadcast rights agreement too.
Right.
And clubs are waiting to know what that might be because obviously it affects the salary cap, their capacity to be able to keep players, move them on, or actually recruit other players because there's going to be an increase in the salary cap.
So when are they expected to hear that? There'd be a degree of urgency around that.
There is, but at this stage, there has been other priorities. And from what I have been told, this hasn't been moving at any great pace.
And so watch this space, that one. I can understand the clubs wanting to get a decision, but the Players Association are probably saying, yeah, we'll do it in our own time.
Yeah,
is that how we're reading it?
Well, there's a sense of urgency around football clubs because obviously...
You know, the clubs, are for sure, but what about the Players Association? Have they also got the same sense of urgency?
Well, they have to a degree because obviously it affects their members, but they're happy to just go straight to the sixth year of this deal, which they already had in place.
Yeah, or, right. So they've already got a year for next year, so there's no pressure for them to do something.
No, there's no immediate pressure for them to do anything, but it's probably more in favour of the player the sixth year of the current CBA agreement than what they might renegotiate a three-year deal over.
Simon Goodwin has won the AFL Coaches Association Coach of the Year from Luke Beveridge, and Leon Cameron came in third. Here's Goodwin explaining the relationship he had with Neil Danaher.
I got a text message from, you know, the great Neil Danaher to say that I'd become Senior Coach of the Year. And I think that's just an amazing text message to receive from someone so special to our footy club. And, 5 years ago, I was doing my level four with the AFL, and Neil Danaher was my mentor at the time. And, you know, we'd catch up once a week at Kooyong Tennis Club and talk all things footy. And he'd educate me on building a philosophy of the why you do certain things.
So well done to Simon Goodwin. Fantastic performance, and what a great thrill to get a text message from Neil Danaher announcing that. That would have been one of his great moments, I'd imagine.
Brilliant. Carlton's Luke Power was named the Assistant Coach of the Year after moving from Head of Development to Stoppage's coach mid-season. And Zach Merritt won his third Crichton medal last night. The joint vice-captain polled 420 votes to finish ahead of Darcy Parrish on 339. Will Snelling, a bit of a surprise there, 315. Merritt was asked, where does this one rank among the three BNFs that he's won there at Essendon?
In the past, it may have come across a little bit selfishly, but I felt like I was very diligent to my role and playing really well individually, whereas I think this year was much more about helping my teammates and bringing them along. And it's really exciting to see guys like Will, Darcy, Kyle get rewarded for their seasons and what they're doing. I think I've had a fairly big influence on those guys on and off the field. And for me, reflecting on this year, I think it sits firmly at the top in that respect. I think I helped more than ever before.
There's Zach Merritt just talking about his third Crichton medal, and starting to really sound like somebody that I think is the potential to be the next captain of the Bombers as well.
Take that to the bank. How many did you win, by the way?
No, I can't. It's a long time ago, Gary. I can't remember.
Well, why'd you hold four fingers up for me?
No, I just said we needed four coffees. I've got the boys out the back running to get some coffees.
Adam Treloar was on AFL 360. I didn't see this last night. He was talking about his grand final memories and how much missing out on a premiership hurts.
I do look back fondly on, obviously, playing in a grand final is something that you dream of being able to do, and coming so close but feeling yet so far, it will always hurt me. It'll hurt me to the day that I die because, yeah, in the manner and the way that we lost, we were up for pretty much the whole game and losing within 2 minutes of the game finishing. Yeah, it still hurts me to this day. I did promise myself that this time round, no matter what the result is, I'll enjoy it a lot more.
So, yeah, you have to be in one to really be able to... Is that going to be a factor?
Yep.
None of the Melbourne players. Oh no, Jake Lever. Sorry, he's played in one, but none of them have. Whereas the Western Bulldogs have probably got half of their team that have played in one. Do you factor that in when you're making your call?
No, I'm not going to factor that in when I make the call. There's too many recent premiership teams that just haven't had that experience of losing one before they won one. So I'm not going to factor that in at all. I was really fascinated to listen to Justin Leppich yesterday talk about the matchup with this grand final, though, and where he thinks it may be won or lost or whatever. And he went all the way back to 2017 when they played Jacob Townsend on Jake Lever when they played the Adelaide Crows in the grand final. So he played that defensive role on him and did a great job. And he made the suggestion yesterday, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Shacky to go back and have a look at that game back in 2017 as to how he played him.
Different types, Shacky and Townsend, aren't they? Different types of players. Shacky played on a Lear last week, so he would have that very much in his mindset in terms of how to do it. Well, how far back do you go? Brownie was saying that they should target Max Gorn on Monday night.
Yeah, I saw that.
He went back to round one 2019.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think for one second that would be a factor at all for Max Gorn. I don't think that, and I don't reckon the Western Bulldogs would be thinking that way either. In fact, I'd quite like them to do that.
Yeah, the physical side of it. But Justin Leppich also made the point yesterday, and like if you continually knock somebody, right, and not talking about being sort of like maybe overt physical contact that was made in that game against Port Adelaide going back to that year, but if you continually knock somebody who's trying to be an athlete, and they have to restart their run, the accumulative effect of that over the course of the game just wears somebody down. That's pretty much what he was talking about yesterday, and that's something that he would employ against Max.
People do it more often.
Well, probably they should, particularly somebody like a Max Gorn who, you know, has got great ability to cover the ground and get from one end to the other and participate in the flow of the ball. I'm sure that they'll be thinking about that when they go against them this weekend.
Tommy Morris wrote on Monday that Matthew Scarlett's close to Brian Cook and Nigel Lappin, longtime friend of Michael Voss, are in the blue sights. And that is assuming, of course, that Michael Voss will get the nod, which is widely reported.
Yes. Could you appoint assistants before you appoint the senior coach, though?
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't.
You want to have everyone pretty much on the same page and in agreement as to who you're going to work alongside, would you not?
I think that would be the way to go. And don't put the cart before the horse. The coach will always be the horse. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range, available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric.